Turn back to Isaiah 49. I saw this text and spoke from it before, but there was no way I was going to put this all in 30 minutes. In the first few verses, and I'm going to go back, just make some quick statements for those that weren't here in Sunday school. Verses 1 through 4, the nations are exhorted to hear God's Messiah and prophet, this one that Isaiah speaks of. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he's made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, and his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. This is Christ, the one who would come and glorify the Father. And then I said, I've labored in vain, I've spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment's with the Lord, and my work's with my God. I mentioned in Sunday school that the Lord's acceptance among the Jews would not be very much, but he was not disheartened. He said his judgment was with the Lord, and his work was with his God. In verses 5 through 8, we see more identification of who this one is, this Messiah. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not yet gathered, yet I'll be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And the father said, It's a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. This one who was coming, this man, would be the salvation of God through all time. Through all time. To the ends of the earth, no matter where anybody is, this is the Savior. And verse 8 says, I've heard thee in an acceptable verse 7 said, Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth. This is describing Christ. This one that the nations abhorred. This one who was a servant to rulers, who was made of a woman, made under the law, was obedient to his mother and father and civil authorities. Kings are going to rise and princes shall worship, because the Lord that's faithful and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee. Though he would be the stone that would be rejected of the builders, he would be chosen of God, the chosen one. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I've heard thee. Our Lord was heard of the Father. Everything he prayed, everything he sought from the Father was heard of the Father. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. You can write it down. God Almighty is going to give every one of those that the Son's been given, they're going to be with him. They're going to be with him. In the day of salvation, I've helped thee, the Father said. I've helped you. I'll preserve you. I'm going to preserve you. Our Lord was preserved throughout his life on this earth, and I'm going to give thee for a covenant of the people, and I'm going to establish the earth because of you. This world exists, and this is what we handle in Sunday school, for the sake of the Son of God and for the sake of his people. You know, that's the only reason. And it's going to continue to exist until he causes him to inherit all the desolate heritages. Wherever in the world one of God's elect is sitting, God Almighty is going to send the gospel and call that man or that woman and save their souls. Now, this one was given to the Father here. Verses 9 through 12, we are going to see, and this is what I want you to see, the full and complete redemption of his entire kingdom, the success of the Savior. I love it because in this verse, these verses, you're going to see that these people he came to die for are going to be fed, they're going to be led, they're going to be preserved. Fed, led, and preserved. Listen. That I've given you to establish the earth, to inherit the desolate places, that thou shouldest say to the prisoners, Go forth. We read that in Isaiah 61. This one who would free the prisoners. Setting the captives free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. That thou mayest say here to the prisoners, go forth. Not just come out, but go forth. You know, In this verse, we see something about the Lord's people. The Lord's people are in prison. We come into this world in prison. By nature, we are sinners, just like everybody else. We are children of wrath, just like everybody else. We are ate up with it. Ignorance. Ignorance is what we come into this world with. Just absolutely ate up with it. Locked up in prison, under the power of sin, under the dominion of sin, under the guilt of sin, and obligated to the very punishment of sin, unless God Almighty does something for us. Now, we're obliged to it. We are slaves in body and soul, imprisoned in our hearts by a heart that hates God by nature. I know people don't think that's the way they are. My dear old mama wasn't that way. Your mama hated God, and you hated God, until God Almighty did something for you. We're enmity. We're not just at enmity. We are enmity by nature, Scripture teaches. And we were held fast, chained into the very foundations of the prison. We were chained with massive chains to the very foundation of the prison. The law of God chained us there. There was no escape. But this one, this ordained one of the Father, was given as a covenant head, as a surety, that he might say to the prisoner, go forth. I love it. You're set at liberty. You're set at liberty. See, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a proclamation of liberty. We know the truth, and the truth makes us free. It's through the gospel, and because of the Son of God, that we are brought into what the Scripture calls the glorious liberty of the children of God. I love that. The glorious liberty of the children of God. I mentioned he didn't just say, come out. Come out. He didn't say that. You know, when Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, a lot of them just hung around the plantation, didn't know what to do. It's all they've known all their lives. They just couldn't leave their masters. But our Lord, He makes His intentions known when He frees the prisoners. He says, go forth. Get the heck out of here. You understand? Go forth. Go forth. You're free from sin. You are no longer under its guilt or its condemnation. You're free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there's remission. We're free. Free as a result of this one who was coming. We can walk at liberty with all the privileges of a blood-bought child of God. I'm telling you, that's beyond comprehension. That's beyond our comprehension. I think sometimes we just take it for granted. We have been bought by the blood of the Son of God, and we're free. And when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy. And I'm telling you today, I'm here, and I never feel comfortable in the pulpit because I know I'm not worthy to be able to speak for God Almighty, but in Christ I am. In Christ I am. He sees me as worthy. And listen, it goes on here. And to them that were in darkness, show yourselves. In darkness. You know, we sat in darkness. That's what one of the prophets said to them that sit in darkness. We'd lost all hope. We were chained. We weren't up trying to get out of there. We knew better. We knew better. Just sitting in darkness. And this one comes and says, my mom used to say this to me in the mornings. She used to say it, but she was misquoting it. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Look at that. You probably heard this was an old expression from some generations back. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Huh? Rise and shine, Dan. Rise and shine. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise on thee, and His glory shall be seen on thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and to the kings the brightness of thy rising. He says, go forth and show yourselves, you that sit in darkness. Show yourselves. Come on out here. Let's have a good look at you. That's what He's saying. Let's have a good look at you. The glory of the Lord has arisen upon you. Come out. Show yourselves. You are the light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. That's what our Lord said. What does it mean here to show yourselves? Confess Him. You remember what our Lord told those men? Those men, those lepers that were healed? He healed them and He said, now you go show yourselves to the priest. You go show yourselves. Offer the offering that Moses told you to offer. Why was that? You go show yourselves. God Almighty has done something for you. You go show yourselves. That's what He's saying. You come forth and go show yourselves. Let it be known. You are one of those set at liberty. And listen, I want to tell you something about these people. They shall feed in the ways. See that in the text? Wherever they go, there's going to be food for them. These freed ones shall never hunger, never thirst. You'll see that in a moment. And their pasture shall be in all high places, wherever they go. No matter how high the mountains are. You know, you don't find a lot of food on the top of those mountains. Those craggy mountaintops. I don't care how high the mountain is. They're going to feed on that mountain. Because God Almighty is going to see to it. Where there normally isn't any food, these people are going to be fed. They're going to be led. You're going to see that. And you're going to see they're going to be preserved. Verse 10. They shall not hunger nor thirst. Our Lord said, if you eat of this bread, you never hunger again. You drink of the water that I give, you're never going to thirst again. Our Lord puts an end to these things. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness are going to have righteousness by looking to Him. They're going to be fed by His Word, fed by Him all their days. Neither shall the heat of the sun smite them. They're going to be preserved. That's what that's talking about. You remember when the Jews walked through the Old Testament days, when they were roaming out there in the wilderness, they were preserved from the sun. They had a cloud, actually. This pillar of fire that led them at night also formed a cloud that covered them and protected them during the day in the heat of the sun. These people are not going to be smitten. That's talking about, it's a spiritual language for the fact that you and I are going to be preserved by God Almighty. He's seeing to that. I love it. And we'll be led. Listen, we're going to be led. For He hath mercy. He that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even to the springs of water shall He guide them. Always, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Deliverer, this one who freed us from the prison, this one who told us to confess Him and show yourselves, this same one shall always supply everything that's necessary for a child of God in this world. Look at Romans 8:32. You know, there are times you have doubts about these things, and I know I do too. But here's a verse that ought to put this to rest. It ought to. Listen to Romans 8:32. Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now listen to this verse. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He spared not His Son, what do you reckon any one of these free ones is ever going to lack? You know, my wife told me recently she was heard Todd preach a message, and she couldn't remember all that Todd said, but I guess one of the things they pointed out was that, you know, sometimes you ask people how they're doing, and they'll say, well, it could be worse. You know. But the fact is, if you're one of God's children, it can't be better. You understand that? He knows your needs, and just exactly the way you are and the situation you're in is exactly the right medicine. That's a fact. Well, verse 11, and look at this. I will make all my mountains away, and my highway shall be exalted. I love how the Lord takes credit for this. I will make all my mountains You know, God Almighty made the mountains. I know you hear people talk about how the glaciers move and this and that. God Almighty made the mountains. They were His mountains. They are His mountains. These obstacles that have been placed on the earth have caused a lot of problems over the years for men trying to get somewhere. But I tell you, you and I have some mountains that God's put before us. We have the mountain of His law that He's put on this earth. And many a man has broke himself trying to climb that mountain. Trying to be good enough to merit salvation. Trying to be religious enough to merit salvation. Oh, my lips have never touched alcohol. I've never smoked. I've never cursed. I've never drank. I've always done this. My mom and my daddy are so proud of me. Listen to me. You're a sinner. And if you try to climb that mountain, you're going to be one of the other bones littering the valley down below. There is a mountain of God's law that He has put on this earth. There is a mountain of His strict justice. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Not maybe. Surely. Now that's a mountain I can't get over. I came into this world a sinner. Death is what I have coming. He says this, the mountain here. This mountain, there's a mountain also of His righteousness, His holiness. How can I ever ascend these mountains? I'd have to have a clean hands to do this. I cannot do it. These are difficulties that God Almighty has put on this earth, and only God Himself can bring an answer to this. And that's exactly what the gospel's all about. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We'll look at a couple of verses in Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time, God dealt with these mountains. Look over at chapter 3, verse 13 of Galatians. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That was in God's law. That we might see that Christ, this one who came, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, this mountain that was in our way. I'm telling you, this one who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He has made a way through His mountains. And I'm telling you, this highway that He's made, it's exalted. You see that? It's conspicuous. It's exalted in the earth. It's a conspicuous way that God Almighty has made through the mountains that He put that were in our way. It's a way that's so plain and so simple that a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, need not err therein. Is this complicated? Is it complicated? I tell people that Christ came and laid down His life as a surety and as a substitute, bearing the sins of His people and giving to them His righteousness. And they look to Him and Him alone for that. Is that complicated? That's plain. That's conspicuous. That's an exalted highway. That's what this is talking about. That's exactly what that's talking about. High and conspicuous in the earth. And look back in our text. Verse 12. And behold, these shall come. They're going to come from far. They're going to come from far. Lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. North, south, east. Sinim. Some of the old people believe it talks about the far, far east. He's talking about China. That's Ptolemy said that. But all I know is they're coming. And he says, behold, take a look at this. That's what that's... These are coming. They're coming. You just watch. They're coming. Why? Verse 13 says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people, and they'll have mercy upon His afflicted. He's told here, we're told the angels are told to rejoice and give glory. And the earth is to praise Him and sing for what He's been talking about here. This is big. This is big. This affects heaven and earth. You know, we're told in Luke chapter 15:10, likewise, our Lord said, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means the angels rejoice when one sinner repents, or if in the presence of angels, the Lord rejoices and the angels see when one sinner repents. All I know is this joy that's being spoken of here for what the Son of God has done and what He's doing. Great joy. Why? Sing heaven, sing earth, for the Lord hath comforted His people. And will have mercy on the afflicted. There's a number of things there I want you to see. God Almighty has a people. That's what we've been talking about. He has a people. The elect of God. You can't deny it. You'd have to turn your eyes off and rip entire books out of this Bible to deny the election of God. He has a people, and those people need comfort. That's what you see in that verse. And you also see in that very verse, He hath comforted them. I like that. It isn't He will. He has. He has. This was written 750 years before the birth of Christ, but it's already acknowledging the greatness of the work of the Son of God. This is what He hath done. He has comforted His people, and we'll tell you something else. He's going to have mercy on them. He will have mercy on them. He will have mercy on them. As long as this world stands, His people are going to have mercy given to them. Mercy. Ah, my goodness. Now, if that's something that an angel ought to sing about, how about you and me? You realize you have more reason for joy than Gabriel. He never fell into sin. Forgive me. Well, these things are true. That old song, the voices of 10,000 angels can express my gratitude. They just don't know. Well, listen. But we get it wrong. Let's deal here with where we live. You know, I've been reading things to you here, and I think sometimes we just don't get it. So he says here, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my God has forgotten me. Isn't that amazing? You know, you look at the world around you and you go to work every day and you deal with your neighbors and you find so little interest in the things of God. People are so ignorant of the Scripture. You see false religion all around you flourishing. Men with no integrity being so-called happy. Having it all. David said, their eyes stand out with fatness. Remember that in Psalm? Their eyes stand out with fatness. David looked at him and he said, you know, my feet well nigh slid. I was almost gone. Psalm 77:7, he asked the Lord, is your mercy clean gone? Have you forgotten to be gracious? God's people go through times like that. Well, we get it wrong, but we think we're forgotten and forsaken, but listen to the Lord here in verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now, this is an interesting verse because if there's ever a time a mama loves her little boy, it's when he's a little boy. He's a suckling child. You know, the kid hasn't had a chance to grow up and backtalk you. He hasn't opened his mouth and embarrassed you publicly. I know you ladies that have had children, there comes a point in time when they do that. But this is talking about the love of a mother for her suckling child, her son. And he says now, can a woman forget her son and have not compassion on the son of her womb? Well, yeah, they may forget. Might just go crazy. The best mother that ever lived might just go completely berserk, not love her son. But listen to this. They may forget, but I'll not forget thee. You see, the success of the Savior, this one Isaiah spoke of, all that he would do for his people and all he would continue to do for his people, and he would never forget them. He would never forsake them. That's verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. Behold. Now look at that word by word. I. This is something I did. I chose you. You didn't choose me. Blind chance did not bring you to Christ. You know that? You're here today, and you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, blind chance and luck had nothing to do with it. I wrote you on my hands. You didn't write you on my hands. You didn't make a decision for me. No angel wrote you on my hands. I put your name there. I, the sovereign God, have done this. And notice what he says here. I have done this. It's not, I will do this. It isn't, I'm doing this as I speak to you. I remember growing up in religion, every time there was somebody so-called converted, everybody jump up and sing, there's a new name written down in glory. Remember that song? No, there ain't. Ain't no new names written down in glory. I have. That's the same word he uses when he said, Jacob, have I loved. Esau, have I hated. This is an everlasting love. This is an ancient love that we're speaking about here. Jeremiah 31:3 said, the Lord appeared unto me of old. I have appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's because of my everlasting love for you that with loving kindness I draw thee. I have graven. I love that word. He didn't sketch this with a pencil. He didn't do it with ink. He dug your names, chiseled your name into his hand. I have graven thee. You notice he doesn't just say name. I said name a moment ago, but that's not really accurate. It's you. You, I put in your name, your fullness, your person, your image. I've engraved everything about you, everything that concerns you. I have put you all together in my hand. That's what he's saying. Spurgeon said, each one of us is thought of as if there were no other created being. I love when I read things like that. You find yourself saying, oh, he's forgotten me, but that's not the case. He cares so much for his children, these freed ones, these ones that he's brought out of the prison and sent forth. He cares so much that Spurgeon went on to say that if the whole universe were dissolved and had departed like a shadow, and our Lord had but one man to fix all His grace upon, He would not watch him more, nor more carefully and lovingly see after his best interest than He now cares for each one of His sons and children. Now that's, my friend, that's the sovereignty of God. That's the gospel concerning God and His people, Christ and His people. I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. You notice, He didn't grave your name or your person on the works of His hands. He didn't write the name of Miss Tate over here on the mountains. He didn't write it on the stars above. All these things shall wax old as a garment, and they're going to perish. He's written and graved the names of His sons and the people that He's sent His Son to die for in His hands, because they're going to continue to exist as long as the hands of God Almighty do. And I love this here because His hands are mentioned because it speaks of His activity. His activity. That's what your hands... I hope your hands, when someone speaks of your hands, got something to do with activity. I want you to know that everything God has ever done, touched, has had something to do with His Son and His people. And everything He shall ever do throughout eternity and use His hands for is going to have something to do with His Son and His people. That's why He's put you in His hands. He's not a lover in word only, He's a doer. He's a doer. The psalmist said, He will perfect that which concerns me. Philippians, you can look at it later, 1 verse 6 says, Paul wrote to the Philippians saying, being confident of this very thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident of this. You're in the hands of God Almighty, and He is working all things together for the good of them that love God. Those who are the call, according to His purpose. That's the one that Isaiah saw coming. And I'll look back here at the text. Graven in His hands, and your walls are continually before me. The walls of Zion are always before Him. Zion's walls are always watched. I tell you, that's not just the walls of the church. That includes the very walls of your house. If the hairs on our heads are numbered, do you think the Lord does not know your address? You better believe it. And listen, thy children shall make haste. Zion's children are going to come. They're going to come flying. And your destroyers that made thee waste, they're going to go forth from thee. All the Lord's people are going to be brought in, and all their enemies are going to be conquered. That's the Savior that Isaiah saw coming. And that's the Savior that I preach.